verse 11 to 13. And it says the following, very well known. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved son." This obviously is with the baptism of Jesus. God the Father speaks over him. A voice came from heaven. "You are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." Then immediately the paradox. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. I'm always struck by this paradox. I think this verse of the baptism of Jesus, where God the Father speaks over him and he says, "You are my beloved son," there's something of our longing as human beings that it so deeply addresses. We immediately identify with that. I think some of the most intimate, the deepest things we can hear from God is where he speaks of us and says, "You are my beloved daughter, my beloved son." Is it not? I think that's all that we really long to hear as well. And then immediately this paradox, he went into the wilderness. And the wilderness, it seems, there's only demons and angels and nothing in between. A place of great extremes, a place of great testing, of great temptation, great isolation. The other parallel passages in the other Gospels tells us that, you know, he fasted for 40 days and nights. I don't know about you, but sure, that's a lot. I would struggle with that, just being honest. I don't think I'll make it. I'll die and go to heaven. Nando's will be waiting for me at heaven. You know, this paradox, this streams, and what does it really talk about? You know what? What I really want to talk about this, there's obviously a lot that we can take from it, but what I really want to talk about this morning, and tonight I'm going to continue about it, I want to talk to you about the problem of fatherlessness. Fatherlessness. No fathers. Absent fathers. Abusing fathers. Fathers who do not do what they do. Should do. In fact, the number one social problem in the developing world is the absence of fathers. Fatherlessness. And let me just prove this a bit to you so you see I'm not fun sucking here on a Sunday morning because we lost. If we go to the next slide, let me show you some stats here. 63% of youth suicides comes from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavioral problems come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists indicate that one of the major reasons for their crime is due to absent father. 71% of school dropouts is due to an absent father, fatherless home. 85% of youth in prison. 85%. There's one social worker that I came across that said, I didn't add it there. He said he's never, never dealt with a person in prison that did not have a bad relationship with their father. Never. All of them had a bad experience or bad relationship with their father. It's never found to reverse. In fact, children from fatherless homes are 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 20 times more likely to have behavioral problems, 20 times more likely to end up in prisons, and 32 times more likely to run away. If we have to summarize what is the effects of fatherlessness in the developing world, we can see that there's a decrease in family stability. There's a decrease, a huge decrease in the moral fiber of a nation. There's a decrease in the quality and the ability of education. And there's an increase in corruption. Does this sound familiar? This is our problems. This is the problems in South Africa. But the truth is, you don't have to go to a township, you don't have to go to a prison to find this problem. You can find it right here tonight, today, and we said tonight, this morning as well. Is that not true? I do not know your story. Some of you I do. But perhaps you have your own story as well. And it's interesting that Jesus, right in the beginning of his ministry, he goes to this territory where God the Father speaks over him, and immediately he goes into the wilderness. And I think there's two reasons for it. If you theologically have to look at that, Jesus, of course, he's fully God, but he's fully man as well. He's fully representative of being human. He's a quintessential human, which means that he undergoes the experiences we undergo. When he comes in flesh, it is interesting where he comes. He goes to Galilee, among the peasants. Now, we all know this fact, but we don't know how bad it is. In Galilee at that time, peasants, 99% of the population. Only 1% were upper class. Poverty, rife. We don't see it because we read it from our point of view and how we grew up, how we live. But is it not interesting that he goes to the worst of the worst, to the most suffering? And is it not interesting that when he gives a sermon on the mount, he speaks to the Galileans, to the peasants, and says, so you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. He speaks hope to a people that have no hope. There's no upward mobility in those days. There's no entrepreneurial skills. You are born a peasant, you die a peasant. And is it not interesting, the reputation that he would have had? Because imagine the mother stands up and says, you know what? God gave me this child. How? No, it was a miracle. The Holy Spirit made me. No. Now your son, he's actually not legitimate. Now in those days, the social stigma of a son not being legitimate is huge. In fact, it's a miracle that Jesus could walk into a synagogue. Illegitimate children could not go to the synagogue. They were not circumcised. I don't know how they did that, but it was actually a miracle, to be honest. In fact, it was so bad that one of the early church critics went out all the way. Celsus was his name. And he said, you know what? Actually, Mary was probably raped by a Roman soldier. That's where Jesus comes from. Is it not interesting that the stigma of illegitimacy hangs over his head? We never hear of Joseph again. Joseph probably at that time died. Men died very early in those days, unfortunately. Mortality rates were quite high. One of the first things that he goes through is that experience of God the Father speaking from heaven. And you know why he does that? Not because he's got a great need, but because he's representative of our story. If you have to go a bit deeper than that, excuse me, I don't like this particular stuff. I have to try and go deeper. Why is the problem of fatherlessness our greatest social problem? I'll tell you why. I don't think it's new. Probably socially, it's worse than ever because of the breakdown of traditional family. But if you go back in history, you look at the Greeks and the Romans, it was not that grand either, to be honest. But you know why it's the number one problem? Because as human beings, we have a distorted image of God the Father. We do not know God the Father. And therefore, it should be no surprise that fatherlessness, absent fathers, a lack of understanding of fatherhood is one of our number one problems. Is it not interesting that Jesus said that one of his great tasks is to show us the Father? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I know you don't know the Father. I know you've got no idea who the Father is. I know you're a bit suspicious about the Father, but look at me. That's the best I can do. Look at me, I'm physically with you to show you who the Father is. I did not email attachment to you. I did not update my Facebook status. I came in flesh. So you can touch me. Hear me. Relate with me. So you can see who is the Father. Now within the church, it's interesting, this morning obviously we're talking more to the ladies because the men are watching roughly. But to be honest, even if the church is full, it's rare that there's a church with more men than women in it. And there's various reasons for it. But that just indicates the problem that we face. Now, I want to go on with this. I want to show you the role of a father. Now, it might seem a bit simple here this morning. Why am I talking to you ladies to this as well? What's the story here? Because you know what? You need a father as well. Perhaps you've had a great blessing to have an amazing father. How much of us you have received. But still, your earthly father is not perfect. There's only one father that's perfect. So maybe there's something that needs to happen in your life today. But beyond that, I want to appeal to you to pray for men. You know what? I think it's incredibly hard to be a woman in today's society. I've been married for 8 years now. And she hasn't left me, so I'm okay. That was a joke, by the way. You can smile. You can smile. I think it's incredibly hard to be a woman. You have to be perfect in every sense. You have to have a perfect career, be the perfect mum, cook the perfect food. Marty rolls her eyes. We know you do that, Marty. Don't worry. We know. All right. You've got to be the perfect wife. You have to be perfect. Even on magazine covers, women are perfect. You know, it's okay to be a guy. You look at the magazine, you've got Bucky's Buerta on there, and he looks like, and that's quite all right. It's easy in that sense to be a man. But I want to appeal to you, and I want to say to you, even though I've got great sympathy and I understand how hard it is to be a woman in today's society, I almost think it's harder to be a man. And I tell you why, because there's a spiritual connotation to it. You take up a man in the house and it's game over. You take up a man in the house and it's game over. You destroy a boy when he's young and it's game over. Prisons are not full of women, it's full of men. Abuse that happens in family. Yes, there's some women that commit abuse, but it's men. And it's not because men are more important than women. We are created equally in the image of God. And each one of us, each gender brings something beautifully and unique that is from God. We are created man and woman in the image of God. That means you have something in your gender that reflects something of God that is incredible and unique and that we need. Right, that's why we're not doing men's and girls' small groups anymore. Because we need you. But there's something spiritual that happens by being a man where Satan knows if he can take you out, he takes you out. He takes out the family. And immediately Jesus is tested on this. Immediately he goes to the wilderness. Now let me show you the role, what a father should do, and think of your own life and what has happened there. Now, I'm indebted to Cassie Carson for these 4 points. But, since I do have to do some work to earn a salary, I have applied it to these verses, and I want to show you how well it actually applies. The first thing a father does is to confer identity. Now, again, the father is not the only one that does this, but this is the main role of a father. Maybe does this as well. But this is the main role of the father. Confers identity. Who are we as a family? Some of the things I remember the most clear from my youth is my father saying who we are as Jacob, sir, and who we are not. God the Father comes and says, you are my son. You are mine. You belong to me. This is your identity, and its identity is so strong that even within the Trinity, Jesus is known as God, the Son. A father confers identity. Without a father, hello father. Without a father, identity struggles for children. The second thing that a father does is to provide security. And by security, I don't mean necessarily the guy waiting there with a baseball bat, although that is handy as well. My wife sometimes does wake me up to say there's noise. And you have to go down the stairs. Yes, that's the dog. Alright, that part is also important. But it's emotional security. You are my beloved son. One of the greatest needs that I see pastorally is this need. Somebody just desperately needing to hear those words, you are amazing. Incredible. Beloved. We pray that, and you know what? It's not bad to pray that. There's obviously an area where it can become dependent and, you know, in a negative sense, but as a normal human reaction, we all need that. And I tell you what, I think this is one of the greatest things that God wants to tell us. That is why He goes out of the way. Why do we always go on about the cross? I mean, it's hard to talk about a guy hanging on a cross, dying a horrible death. Why do we celebrate that? Because of what it signifies. God going as far as what is even divinely possible to demonstrate to us that I love you. Did you grow up with that security? Did you grow up with that sense of you are beloved? The third thing a father does, and again, this is not exclusively what the father does, ladies. But the father's got a very, very important role there. Validate potential. You can do it. You can do it. God the Father speaking here saying, I am well pleased. I am well pleased. Affirmation. Very important what a father does. Affirming. And then the fourth one is to establish authority. What is right and what is wrong? And here a lot of fathers do wrong. Because often what happens when a father does discipline, which is already rare, they discipline on the basis of their own authority. You don't do it because I said you don't do this. But the basis of all authority comes from God. And therefore, when you establish authority, you must establish the authority of God in the house of. What does the Bible say? What does God want? Alright, and tonight I'm going to speak a bit more to the men, but for the few guys that's here, I want to say this to you. Remember it one day. The authority that you establish is not your own authority. You are a servant of that authority as well. Because children need to see who is God the Father from you. That is a big burden, isn't it? I know it's going like, oh. That is a big burden. It's interesting what happens here is the voice from heaven. I think that sort of settles it, authority. Voice from heaven. Now, let me show you something very interesting here. You know, we spoke about statistics in terms of crime and social problems, and that's not the problems of people sitting here today by the grace of God. But it does not mean that the problem of fatherlessness does not affect us. Because now we get to the paradox. God the Father speaks over Jesus, says, you are my beloved son. And then immediately goes into the desert. Why does he go into the desert? Because he was tested on all these points. Let me show you. The first point, identity. Who are you? And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the son of God, if. Who are you? You may think that this is unique to Jesus and that these temptations are unique to Jesus, but I would beg to differ. Because remember, Jesus is a representative of what it means to be human. These temptations you will face in life over and over until you conquer them. And one of the greatest tests that you face first is a test of identity. So who are you? In our postmodern society, the fashionable thing is to remake yourself. Redo yourself. Change all the time who you are. But it makes for a very unstable existence. Because who you are is whatever fashion dictates you to be. And who wants to live like that? Listen. Charismatic churches share a curse. That we want things now. We want McDonald's. Now. But one of the greatest blessings in life is a constancy of not changing. Of knowing who you are and who you are not. You see, for most people, when I chat to them and there's problems, I would ask them, so who are you? What can you do? What are you about? What is the essence of what it means to be teens? What is teensheid? You know how rare it is that people actually understand who they are. And by that, I don't just mean a generic identity as in, I'm a daughter of God, I'm a son of God. But more specific than that, what am I really good at? What have I really been called for? What is actually my forte? Because if you don't know what your identity is, the moment you are tempted on this, you will fall. If you are like, no, I must prove I'm the son of God. Because so I better do this stuff. And isn't it interesting? He was tempted on hunger, for example. One would think the great issue there is his physical condition, his hunger. 40 days, 40 nights, I'm hungry. God, that stone is suddenly looking very yummy. Looks like a chocolate brownie, I can have it. You know? For me, probably that would be the great temptation, maybe for you as well, but the temptation, the onus of the temptation was not on that, it was on identity, if you are the son. That's an extra jab in the side. And we often find this in a work environment. I also work for a living, until I started doing ministry. I'm kidding. It's a joke again. Hello. Alright. Alright. Is that not the number one thing in which we get absolutely slaughtered at work? Work more. Do more. Do this. To show me that you're good enough. If you really say you are who you are, let's see. And people follow. Identity. Who are you? You know, a lot of the stuff God can only speak into your life. Have God spoken into your life? It's very hard to hear the voice of God if you do not feel that He is your call. The second point, provide security. What scripture says is, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, the thing here, at that stage, I mean, any doctor, would tell you to fast for 40 days medically is not clever. It's not clever. It's life-threatening, in fact. See, by the time he was tempted to change stone into bread, it was not anymore a matter of hunger, it was a matter of survival. Am I going to make it? See, most of the times when we fall for sin, it is not because we think, that's a nice thing to do, I might consider it. It's because we think we have no other option. Because I'm not going to make it emotionally. I'm not going to make it as a person if I don't do this. It seems that it's the only avenue available. Am I speaking here just of myself? You see, and therefore, the issues here, the issue of security, am I actually safe? It says, it's written, you will live by the word of God. Now, I don't know if you can eat the word of God. Apparently you can. Because to us, it seems very strange. See, the temptation is the temptation of safety and security. Am I safe? And if you have not had these values imparted by a father, or by the Heavenly Father. This you will struggle with. And therefore we do find the sequence that Jesus do not go into the desert first and then the Father comes in. Because that's my expectation. Again, maybe I don't think I'm alone here. But my expectation is you go to the desert, you do cool stuff, you kick the devil, you rock with the angels, and then God the Father comes to you. Oh my beloved sir. Am I right? Is it just me? Am I in the party today? 10 minutes? Alright. But God the Father first affirms him. Because if you've not had these values imparted, you don't come preloaded with the stuff. You don't come preloaded with stuff. It's not like you a gadget that's got a program on it. And bang! Security, download it. Alright? Just update it from time to time. Swipe that credit card. No! These things are important to you. And if it's not important, you don't have it. And you can run around, do bomba kisses, seems that you're okay, but if you've not had these values important, you don't have it. You must get it somewhere. You see, the basics are the most important things. Let's face it. We want to run high, fly high, jump off bridges, do all kinds of cool stuff. Without the basics, and time again, we fall flat. Because the basics is the basics. My question to you, have you had these things important in your life? Third one, validate potential. The devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of a temple and said to him, if you are the son of God, bungee jump. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you on their hands who will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You know why this was temptation? The pinnacle of a temple about 80 to 100 meters high. Not exactly sure about there. You imbue with everyone. On the temple mount of Passover, some commentators believe this happened on a Passover as well, this temptation. There would be up to 200,000 people on the temple mount. Jump off a pinnacle of a temple, the angels catch you, and what happens? You get uploaded to YouTube and you become an instant celebrity. You made! This Jesus guy, he's from God. Because he can fly. See, if you do not believe in your God-given potential, you will do all kinds of stuff. Reality TV? Is it not interesting how people with absolutely a little normative point song? And then they will, I don't know, kill it with a gun. And then they will do anything for a celebrity. I know that. People will butcher their own dignity, their own name, the own sense of self, just for somebody to go 1,000 downloads. If you do not understand the dignity and the power of your potential, you will fall for a joke. Again, this values, is it important in your life? Fourthly, establish authority. Again, the devil took him to the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and only him you will serve. Is it not interesting? Who is in charge? What is really wrong? What is really right? God the Father. Now, I want to stop here this morning. If you can maybe just stand with me. I'm going to continue tonight. I'm going to chat about this, a lot of this stuff again. So I do want to catch a majority of men this evening. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just close our eyes. Let's just bring ourselves before God. Because the truth is, I don't have to talk much about this topic because we all recognize the need for it. And if I can just ask, just close your eyes because this, I do think this is a private moment. So I don't want, you know, us to focus on other things or to focus on each other because I want to respect the privacy of the moment. And I think, ladies, for you, and for the guys here as well this morning, perhaps you're looking at these values and you say, you. There's some stuff here I have not received and, you know, I can recognize that it's creating havoc in my life. I'm always looking for that sense of identity, always struggling with it. I'm always looking for that sense of security, of feeling safe. And you know, you can hide that thing. You can hide it very well. I know Christian veneer, but it always feels like you're running and it always feels like you're threatened. That potential. Always thinking that you're going to fail, that you are miserable, that you can do nothing. that fear that I'm not going to make it. You know, lastly, that authority thing. Always struggling to walk under the authority of God. Because essentially you're afraid of me. Maybe that's you tonight, up this morning again. Maybe that's you this morning. But you know what? I can't do that for you. A person next to you can't do that for you. A husband one day can't do that for you. A wife one day, guys, can't do that for you. An older person can help you with that perhaps, but they can't do it for you. There's only one Father. And you know what he did with Jesus? He wants to do with us. The way in which he affirms and establishes, he wants to do with us. I don't want to make a big thing of this morning because I believe it's a relationship. I don't believe it's a once-off decision. I don't believe it's something that you come forward and you get something and walk away. I believe it's a relationship. And if you recognize this morning, you say, you know, these values, I recognize that my relationship with God the Father is not that great. And I want a better relationship with Him. I do think you have a relationship with Him, but I want a better relationship. I want that relationship where He can impart this to me because that is what I want. I want that voice from heaven that speaks to me. Why don't you just raise your hand where you stand? Just, no one else is looking. But just as a sign unto God. I'm going to pray with you and over you. Father, you are good. You are perfect. You give us every good gift. Thank you that we don't have to ask you to be a Father because in your very nature you are Father. Your name is Father. All that we ask for is that this distorted image that we have of the Father, this lack of a relationship that is there but not there either, we ask that it will change. Through the cross. Through the cross, all things has been made smooth so that we can enter your house and your throne. Nothing can hold us back from this. This morning, we make the decision to let everything go that keeps us back from you. All our fears, all our disappointments, all our hurts, all our sin, all our prompts, all our issues. And we come into your throne and we thank you that you do want to speak to us. You've always been speaking, but we don't always hear. Open our ears. Open our ears in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to do a last sort of general prayer over men, if that's okay. Like I said, I'm going to talk about this again tonight. But I just want us to pray as a congregation for men. Is that okay? Father, we come this morning and we pray for men. Not because they are more important than women, but because we recognize that there's a great need in our society. This morning we think of the townships and broken relationships. This morning we think of the rich areas and broken relationships. This is truly endemic to our society, to our world. We know there's nothing we personally can do about it, but you can restore families. And you can restore fathers. And therefore, first and foremost, we ask for the gift of repentance upon this nation. A father becomes a father through repentance. Through walking the straight and narrow. Through coming close to you. And I pray that that will happen over our nation in the name of Jesus. But Lord, I also just pray for our attitude often towards men, myself included. Where often we are critical, we break down, we do not build up. I pray that we will speak a word of faith over men. So that men will arise within the church, within families, within themselves, and most of all within the kingdom of God. And we recognize that the evil one has stolen much from us as a nation. Our nation produces malemas, youths with all kinds of weird ideas because of fatherlessness. We pray for restoration in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified. Amen. Can I ask that you pray for tonight as well? Just you know, not now, but when you're at home, pray for tonight. And, you know, just, let's just spend a couple of days praying over this, because I don't want this to be a nice topic that we talk about. That was cool. Let's go on with life. But there's something deeper that we need to talk about. Right. I'm going to stick in front here. If this topic really touched you and you realize, you know what, I actually need more prayer in this area or to talk to somebody about this, please, please come to chat with me. Vanna will be in front as well. Okay, don't leave. If you feel you've got a hurt and you really want to talk about this, don't walk out here and we've just scratched something open and you walk out. Come to us so we can chat, so we can pray. Amen. Girls, just want to say to you, you're amazing. Doing amazing work in this church. No, I'm serious now. Doing amazing work in this church. And I just want to say, of a woman here, there is nothing that you cannot do. You girls are world beaters. I am amazed. Tonight I'm going to talk to the guys and then it's hot top down. But I just want to say to you, so is that on the books? I just want to say to you, I've got great admiration and respect for women in this church. They truly are God. And let no one ever tell you something else. And let me say that I should be done with the service, but there's this weird thing that comes out all the time. Now I'm on women. I'm done with men. There's this weird thing that comes out that says that women should shut up in church. Should cover their head, maybe. Cut off their hands. And be second-rate citizens. I just want to tell you that is not from God. It's because people do not understand what Scripture actually says. But in the beginning, God created men and women in the image of God. And the church will come to its full potential when men arises to what manhood means and women arises to what womanhood means. And I think you are as far ahead in many aspects. But don't let anyone ever put a thorn on you. You can't speak. You can't do anything. I see so many girls that come and say to me, can I say something in church? Because Neko, it seems that I'm, you know, being disobedient or something. And that is not true. Your faith, your conviction, makes all the difference in the world. I want to commend you for that. I want to say, go for it. In fact, to be honest, I want more women in the pulpit as well. I don't think we've got enough women in the pulpit. That's what I'm saying, you should sign up now. But that is something that we desperately need. Alright. So I just want to commend you on that. Thank you so much. If you want some prayer, I'll stick around in front and pretend I'm not disappointed with a rapid gap. God bless you.